until, you know, we get to that point where this isn't happening anymore, we just have to kind of keep spreading the word and spreading positivity and just trying to talk about other things like health and how much better you feel and how great a plant-based diet is.
You're listening to the Simply Vegan podcast with me, Holly Johnson, editor of the UK's only vegan magazine, Vegan Food and Living. Before we get started, I have a quick favour to ask. We need your support to help our podcast keep running. So if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review and share on your socials. The more that people listen, the more compassion we spread to the world. And if you'd like to try out our magazine for just 99p, head to veganfoodandliving.com/podcast. It's packed with delicious plant-based recipes and expert articles on nutrition, sustainable living, and vegan ethics. If you're a regular listener, you'll know that we've taken a little break since January, but we're now back to weekly episodes with a new co-host, Vegan Food and Living's art editor, Deborah Butler. In today's episode, we're addressing compassion burnout and how to stay upbeat and effective as vegan advocates when it feels like the world is against you. We also delve into the importance of dispelling myths, such as the idea that veganism is unhealthy and all about ultra-processed foods, or that you need milk for strong bones.
Busy week, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit busy.
And you're drinking cold coffee.
Yeah, I don't have time to get a new one. I really don't mind cold coffee. I just drink
it's
it.
It's kind of like iced coffee, I guess, without the ice.
I'd rather have hot coffee or cold coffee. I wouldn't go lukewarm.
Yeah.
So I just wait until it, when it wasn't very nice, I waited till it went to room temperature and I just drank it. it doesn't bother me at all. It's like food. I'm not that bothered about piping hot food.
Yeah, my friend's really funny. She literally is... like hates food if it's not boiling hot.
Simon's like that. He'll send it back.
Yeah. So you get rid
of. And I'm a bit embarrassed.
Oh yeah.
But he'll go no. And it for me it'll be fine. But he wants it burning his mouth hot,
yeah.
Piping hot. And whenever I cook at home, I'm putting stuff on the plate and I put it on the. I get mine and Monty's on the table. I'll put Simon's in the microwave for a minute. Even though I've literally just put it on the plate, it'll go in the microwave for a minute.
Oh God, that's annoying.
He wants it like, and then when he's eating it, he's like,
and you're like, just have it normal temperature, like the rest of us.
I know. Come on, Simon.
Well, I'm just eating mac and cheese that my daughter's just brought up because we're on deadline with the magazine, aren't we, Deb? So.
We are, yeah. So everything's got to be like quick food here and there, convenient food.
Yeah, bless her. She's just whizzed it up with the NutriBullet and some cashews, and I think she's put some avocado in there. And...
Ooh, is it cashew nut with nutritional yeast, or is there some silken tofu there as well?
No silken tofu, just nutritional yeast. Maybe garlic powder. I don't know.
Oh, lovely. I bought a big bag of garlic powder the other day, like
did
that
you?
Big.
Huge.
In the supermarket. Huge. It's bigger than my rice packets.
Oh, my God.
That's how much I use garlic powder.
It's so good,
using everything.
Because I was using, for the first few years of being vegan, I was using fresh garlic, because obviously, I mean, garlic powder is still really good for you, isn't it? But I guess fresh garlic maybe trumps it in terms of, like, I hate that word, trump.
It
kind of wins in terms of like nutritional value maybe slightly because it's fresh, but it makes things so garlicky. Like if you make chickpea tuna and then you'll just think of it for days, it's like it's a bit much in your packed lunch.
Exactly. I'm all about convenience foods. Where I can get away with convenience foods, I will. So I've got a drawer full of in my freezer frozen veggies, like bags and bags of frozen veggies. Can you hear the rain here?
Is that rain? I thought it was someone flushing the toilet.
No, the rain is very heavy here. I think we're going
to
flood.
Debs, when is it going to end? Because I'm literally about to move to a different planet. I don't know what planet we could go to.
Let's go to Australia. Come on.
Yeah, but then it's like you can't go out like for daylight hours because it's scorching hot.
Oh yeah.
My auntie's over there. They have to go for walks at like 5 a.m.
Oh gosh. It's like it's hammering down here, really heavy rain. I'm still wearing my winter coat, and it's nearly April.
So depressing.
So cold and wet and horrible. Convenience food. So I've got a drawer full of like bags of frozen veggies. I get fresh veggies, but I've just got like chopped peppers and carrots and peas and stuff like that, and I just chuck it in a stir fry. It tastes perfectly
fine. You're
so
organised. Yeah, well, freezer's a brilliant way to.
Yeah, it's not even being organised. It's just cutting corners, but in the right way, like garlic powder. God, I couldn't be bothered to get garlic out and press it, yeah, and then get the little bits out, yeah, and then your fingernails stink of it.
100%. I'm with you. Yeah. Garlic powder all the way. We're still doing the podcast for next week, but we're taking a week off, aren't we? Like in terms of not being at work. So I can't wait. I so need it. What are you doing with your week off?
Absolutely bugger all. Nothing. Really. Well, Monty's off school for 2 weeks, so I'm taking the first week off. And I'm just going to look online to see anything free for kids to do. We've got a great local library, and they do like Lego Club and aww, little crafting things. I like getting involved. I love getting involved in the community, like just walking down the road, going to the library and going, you know, anything that's free or cheap.
Yeah.
I'm sure Monty will want to have a duvet day because he likes his duvet days. Pajama days, he calls
I
them.
Think me and so Monty get on well.
Yeah, well, if I wasn't so busy, I'd be joining in the deep. just having a nice time with my son, really, and just having a bit of a lazy time, taking it easy, nothing planned, going with the flow. I probably won't be able to get out for many runs or sort of workouts at the gym, but that's fine. You know, just. Do it for this, you know, next week and take a step back.
Exactly. Bit of time off.
So that's fine. What about you? What are you doing?
What am I doing? I mean, my kids are like, well, Poppy's nearly 18 this July, so she won't be going to any craft events, that's for sure.
Doing any Lego clubs?
No Lego clubs. My son is 12 and all the Lego has been removed from his room. He likes it minimalist now. Every day I go up there because he's on the top floor and there's another box of stuff on the landing. He's gone, I don't want that. He's just slowly getting rid of it all. And it's heartbreaking. It's like all your toys.
What do you do? Do you give them to charity or do you sell them? Or
we put them in the garage and then forget about them. Until we go into the garage and then I realise how much stuff, like 6 years of stuff. Now and again, if someone comes around with their little one, I'm like, do you want some Lego or do you want this whatever? And they go home with clutching all this stuff. But it's just all in the garage, which is shameful.
Yeah, I know. No, it happens to all of us. I haven't got time to sort it all out. Yeah. I've taken a load of Monty's old clothes to the Samaritan's box at the supermarket.
That's a nice idea.
That's a good thing I did.
Yeah.
But I've still got loads of stuff that needs to be sold or given to charity or whatever. But I'll tell you something, when Monty was born, I now know why all my friends gave me all their stuff that their kids had already used. It was almost like, oh yeah, you're giving me stuff, brilliant. But they were just thinking, get it out of my house.
They weren't thinking of you at all. They just wanted to.
No, they weren't. They were thinking of trying to clear their house out.
But that's good. Circular economy. I like it.
Yeah. Or upcycling or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Circular economy. I like that.
I've have to admit, I have not been in a good frame of mind. I've been really struggling, like, with my mental health. Because I think just doing this job gets to you sometimes, doesn't it? You kind of, I don't know, just, I think I've just got a bit burnt out and exhausted with sort of trying to fight and make people, but just kind of spread the word in a positive way. And this time of year, I always find really difficult because you've got all the lambs in the field and all over Facebook. I'm in a rural area, all over Facebook. I mean, there's been two posts this week alone. We're recording on a Wednesday, so that's like in the last 3 days. There's been two posts on the local group saying, with a picture of a lamb on its own, you know, saying, you know, it's still alive, can someone help, blah, blah, blah. And then the next post was shallow breathing. I think, I don't know if it was the same lamb. Where's the farmer? Can you help? Can you help? And it's so hard to resist going on and saying, guys, this is so lovely that you're trying to rescue this lamb. Are any of you eating lamb for Easter? Because you get that it's the same animal, right? And then I just keep seeing legs of lamb everywhere I go. And it's just like, it gets to you. And why?
I know. it's terrible. People don't kind of realise what's going on. I mean, especially recently, I've seen a lot of stuff online. I've joined a couple of vegan groups. They're really, some of them are quite graphic, the Instagram pages. And I don't want to be ignorant, because I'm doing everything I can to help the planet and help the animals, but it makes me really sad. And when it makes me upset and sad about it, I do have to kind of take myself out of it.
Yeah.
And just kind of say, well, I'm doing everything I can. Veganism is growing massively, especially the last few years. 70% of my friends are vegan curious. So they're sort of listening to me and kind of understanding what's going on. So there is a massive movement, but until, you know, we get to that point where this isn't happening anymore, we just have to kind of keep spreading the word and spreading positivity and just trying to talk about other things like health and how much better you feel and how great a plant diet-based diet is.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. It really upsets me when I see stuff, and these activists, I think, are absolutely incredible.
I know. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. And I,
because they're so passionate, but they've got such a thick skin, and they're so strong. I'm just thinking, bloody go for it. You know,
I've got to the stage where I feel like I need to do more. I need to, you know, I need to get out there. Like I said to Rachel, our digital editor. I was sort of chatting on Google Chat with her the other day and saying, you know, I'm off to run naked down the meat aisle of Tesco. Like, I'm just like, I can't cope with it anymore. I need to do something.
I know. Yeah, I know.
I think it's funny that you say, you know, it's grown massively in the last few years, because I think depending on where you are on your journey, you can, and depending on what day of the week it is and what's going on in your life and everything else, you know, I'm sure like next week I'll be full of positivity again and come on guys, we're, you know, we can do this. But sometimes I just feel like we're going backwards, because there's been all this backlash, and sometimes it's just one little comment, isn't it? So my sister went to the hairdressers, and she did say, don't say anything, but I am. And the hairdresser said, oh, your sister's vegan, isn't she? So of course my sister said and didn't, you know, really say anything more. And she said, oh, it's not healthy though, is it? You know, that it's not and it's not fashionable anymore.
Oh god.
And it's really stuck in my mind. Like, why am I letting that get to me? But I just want to go in there and be like, why do you think it's not healthy? And I think it's this narrative, and a lot of it is, you know, being fed through media via and I know this is kind of sounds conspiracy theorist, but a lot of it is fed via the meat and dairy industries, that we don't realize this is all going on. And actually Matthew Glover, the founder of Veganuary and Vegconomist, and
he's like an activist, isn't he?
And he's, you know, he's got VFC, the vegan chicken brand, and now he's sort of saved Meatless Farm. And he's got, you know, bringing all these brands together to form like a vegan Unilever. He did a talk at Plant-Based World Expo with Bosch. And they were talking about, you know, how the meat and dairy industries are, you know, feeding the media with misinformation and studies funded by them
They pick out what they want to pick out, yeah, to put meat in a good light.
Exactly. So I think there's been this real narrative that ultra veganism equals ultra processed foods.
No, not
and,
at all.
And, you know, because there's been, over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, this huge explosion of like vegan meats and fish and cheese, yeah, and everything. And, you know, a lot of them aren't particularly healthy. We know that. But, you know, 99% of vegans, I think, realize that they're not going to be eating that every day. They get it. They, you know, they see these as processed foods. And actually, there's been a study recently that said, which I'll link to in the show notes, that said that even these ultra processed vegan foods are still better than the meat alternatives. So, you know, but we're not, you know, it's just common sense, isn't it? You're not going to be eating this day in, day out. It's maybe having a vegan burger on the weekend, or I don't know. Mm. And there are.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they're not all made equal. You know, you do get sort of pea protein products, which don't have that many ingredients in. So it's not easy, is it? Picking through what's what.
Yeah.
A neighbour said to me about tofu. They said, oh, tofu's an ultra-processed food. It's not. It's not an ultra-processed food. Of course it's been processed, just like bread.
Yeah.
You don't find bread growing on a tree and pick it
cheese
off.
Cheese is processed.
Exactly.
Cheese is ultra-processed.
Exactly.
I still think that vegans are eating, I'm not saying every vegan, I'm not saying every meat eater, but there's really healthy vegan food. There's really unhealthy vegan food. There's really healthy meat food, and there's really unhealthy meat food. Well, actually, all meats are not healthy, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
But it's your choices. It doesn't matter if you eat meat or if you're vegan. There is healthy choices out there. And look, we live in a obesogenic environment where the weight's going up, people are getting diabetes, cancer, blah blah blah, all these different diseases. Ultra processed food is out there, and some people eat too much of it. It doesn't matter where you come from. And actually, there's a lot of very healthy meat alternatives that aren't ultra processed.
Yeah.
I've been eating some amazing stuff. It's made with soya and some spices.
Yeah.
That's all that's in there. And I look at the back of the product, and I look at the fat content, I look at the ingredients, I look at the protein, I go, I love that. And you just have to read the back of the product.
Yeah,
that's all it is. It's just having a bit of, you know, I mean, I've got to take my glasses to the supermarket and swap over my glasses when I'm walking up the aisle. I'm nearly 50 now. I need to.
Oh, Debs, hang on a minute. You're 50 on Monday.
Monday.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
I'm going to be 50.
And you're going to be 50 as a vegan. I love that. Are you going to be 100 as a vegan?
Yes.
I love that.
I'm going to live to 100.
You are.
You just watch me. I'll still be doing podcasts. I'm going to have a pink Mohican.
Oh, and brilliant.
And a podcast with vegan tattooed across my head. I've been doing, I'm, as I say about cooking, I love cooking, I love baking, and I go up the supermarket and I really do read the back of the products, and I know what's good, I know what's not good. And we shouldn't demonize ultra processed foods, because we all need them, but they're in our environment.
Whether we like it or
why
not,
don't we
they're
just
there.
Have them? And we can't just not have it. It's like when people say that they only eat raw food. That's brilliant. I couldn't do it, because I'll go to someone's house and they've got me a vegan thing and it's a bit processed. I'll eat it. Or sometimes on a weekend, I'll have a big fat pizza with thick dough, the cheesy crust, the vegan cheesy crust, load of chips.
Yeah.
You know, tomato ketchup all over it, vegan mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And that'll sort my craving out until another time.
Yeah.
So it's all about balance. And this whole, vegans eat really processed food, load of rubbish.
Yeah. I agree. Do you cook? Have you ever cooked with the soya chunks?
Yes.
See, can you tell me how to nail that one? Because I've only managed to cook with them once, where they're not like spongy dog food.
Yeah, I know exactly. I know where you're coming
from. But
yeah, soak them in stock.
Ah,
I soak them in stock, And same with the soya mince as well. It's dried, isn't it, in a bag. Yeah. You get it from Holland & Barrett.
Yeah, but it's got very few ingredients.
Very few ingredients, ultra tasty, but I just soak it first in stock. I don't know how long, is it 10 minutes or and 12 and minutes?
Just drop it into the sauce.
Drain them.
Yeah.
Drain them, and then I put some soya sauce and paprika, garlic powder. anything you want to just any herbs and spices you want, and just mix it around in a bowl, and then I fry off my veggies and my tin tomatoes. I chuck it on just to heat it through. I don't like cook it on its own. I just put it into the sauce
at the last minute.
It's already warmed up. Talking of soya chunks, there's something I've heard that I want to get my hands on. They're called soya shreds. So you've got soya chunks and soya mince. There's I think a company called Say Grace Proteins do
right.
it online, and they're like little shreds. They look like bits of fried onion.
Oh, okay.
But like long bits of fried onion. And I saw somebody on Instagram, and what they do is they just take a Tupperware of these soya shreds with them. Whenever they go somewhere and there's no vegan stuff on the menu, they'll order a salad and they put just get soya shreds over the top.
Oh, okay. What, just cold?
Yeah, just cold. They're just like, they're crunchy soya shreds. They're like little, but yeah, or just put them in a soup or just chuck them in something.
And that gets your protein up.
That's my next thing I'm going to try out.
I want you to try those out and report back because they sound weird.
Yes, I will.
I mean, soya chunks and soya shreds, that it's not the sexiest of names, is it?
No.
And I think that, you know, there's that whole debate. Is it France have banned the use of some of the names? And it's just like, oh, God.
I mean, who goes to the supermarket and says, can I have a piece of cow, please? I'd like to have some pig in my sandwich.
A pig.
Sausages and burgers and bacon, they're not, they don't mean meat.
So
they're just describing
it's
a type
a name.
Of.
And for the shape of it or whatever, I know. What are you going to have? What are you doing for the Easter weekend then? Because it's your birthday as well. So what are you cooking? Oh. What food have you got lined up?
I don't think I'm going to do any cooking apart from, well, I probably will do some cooking. But we're going to Mowgli restaurant because I've been desperate to go for a long time.
I looked it up the other day. It looks so nice.
The vegan options look amazing, and so we're going to Mowgli on my birthday, which is on Easter Monday, 1st of April.
Yay!
April Fools. And other than that, I don't know what's happening.
Right.
Just gonna go with the flow. I'm sure I'll probably see friends and have a drink somewhere, and cheese and wine night again.
Yeah.
My favorite. Get absolutely blotto probably.
Yeah, sounds brilliant.
Into my 50s. So
I've seen people sort of asking on the Facebook groups about what people are having for Easter lunch. We're gonna do the what's it called, the Vivera salmon on croup.
Oh, beautiful. Vivera salmon is lovely.
Yeah.
We've got some of that in the fridge.
Yeah, so my mum's going to make it into an encroute like we had at Christmas because it's just really nice. But in terms of like lamb alternatives, I mean, I never liked lamb anyway. So to me, I wouldn't want to recreate that at all.
What is it? It's a roast dinner. So just have anything that you like to have with your roast vegetables and gravy.
Yeah.
Talking of lamb, Aldi have brought out a lamb alternative, which we're going to buy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love Aldi. I just, you know, I'm a big fan of Aldi because it's local and they've got some really good products.
Yeah.
I had a chicken wrap last night and the chicken was absolutely phenomenal.
I saw that on your reels. It looked good.
Yeah. I put some of that that cheese in between.
Did you?
That kimchi. And then I put some hummus on the bottom.
Nice.
And it was like divine.
Tasty.
So you know, mock meats, like them or loathe them, they really help me, and I really like them as long as they're, you know, pretty healthy. But I tell you, some people do ask me why vegans don't eat meat, but they eat things that taste like meat, mm-hmm. or smell like meat.
Because they don't want.
They don't understand that I could like meat, but I don't want to eat it. They think we're already eating lettuce leaves and beans.
I mean, I kind of like all of it, as long as I never really liked meat before.
You were vegetarian before, weren't you?
Well, sort of. I mean, I wasn't. I was when I was younger for about 4 years. And then I, became a teenager, went off to uni. I was just eating. I mean, at uni, I don't even want to think about the stuff I was eating. You know, I just, I had no idea how to cook, even though my dad was a chef. I never took any notice or interest in cooking until I went vegan, really, at the age of 38 or whatever. But yeah, uni, I was just eating whatever my housemates were throwing in the oven, which was probably the cheapest, horriblest meat ever. But I'd always sort of pick at it and be like, what's in it? Like, what's that? Yeah. You know, when you're doing the chicken and there's those veiny, I don't know, what are they? Ugh. Like, I'd always be grossed out by it. So I'm fine with vegan meat because nothing's died. There's nothing gross in it.
No.
That's come from a living thing, so I'm fine with that.
I just find it quite weird that people think that vegans shouldn't be eating mock meats because it's too much like meat. Yeah. And I think, well,
but what's the problem? How is that affecting them?
Yeah, exactly. It's not made from any animals. Yeah. It's cruelty free. Yeah. It's full of really good nutrients. Especially if it's made from soya. Or seitan or something like that, or you know, but we're going back to the meat. You know, when you used to get a Chinese and it was the special chow mein.
Oh, I never had that. It was always grey.
I used to have that, and I would get grey.
You'd be picking
with like red bits on.
Why is it grey?
I don't know what I'm eating. Meat. I don't know what meat it is. So that was a real turn off for me.
Yeah, definitely.
When I was at school and university, I had no idea what nutrition was.
No.
I was eating pot noodles and Pop-Tarts and French bread pizza and all this sort of stuff. I had no idea. No one taught me at school. I had no idea what nutrients were in anything, the calories or anything. No. So I just ate what I wanted to eat. Crisp and chocolate all the time as well.
I mean, I think it's a little bit better now, isn't it? But not hugely. I mean, you know, it's not like they're having lessons in nutrition at school, but they're doing cookery. Mm. And I think, you know, there is more awareness of like sugar and fats and things like that. I guess what I've been thinking about a lot this week is just how we as vegans can sort of address these myths that are going around. I mean, it's always been the case, hasn't it, that we've had to, you know, stick up for ourselves and kind of fight for animal rights at the end of the day. I mean, that's something that's been really on my mind. I've never really thought about what the term animal rights really means, but it's like it's like the suffragettes were fighting for women's rights. We're fighting for animals to have rights, but they can't speak for themselves. So I suppose I've been thinking about that a lot, and just how we can sort of, I guess, just come together more and be more productive as a vegan community. And I think addressing these myths and educating ourselves, like, it's so important, isn't it, just to not stop educating yourself on like all these ultra processed foods or whatever it is that people are kind of, you know, asking about. Because sometimes people aren't sort of trying to trip you up. They're just actually, they might have heard something or read something about veganism being unhealthy or, you know, whatever. And I think it's up to us to kind of like be able to answer their questions. There's a new film. Have you seen the new film coming out by Tom Pickering, who we had on the podcast last year? He's a filmmaker and a vegan runner. It's called I Could Never Go Vegan.
Oh yes, I have heard this. I want to watch it.
Yeah, so it's out
Is it on the cinemas or is it on Netflix?
It's out on the 19th of April. I think it's going to be at cinemas, but I'm not sure for how long. So I'll link to the information in the show notes. I have requested more info this morning, actually. I think we've been invited to the premiere.
Do you want to go? Yeah.
Do you think we'll be allowed to go again? We weren't too badly behaved last time, were we?
We were really good. We were charismatic and funny. We were just showing our true selves and friendly and lovely. I'd like to go.
I think it's in London again. But this film is all about debunking the myths. So I think this could be a really good one to share around on social media and stuff. But do you ever get on social media where you see something and you just really want to kind of comment on it or something that triggers you and you want to share it? And then I do, and then I instantly regret it because then I get really anxious and you start this big long argument chain or no one likes, like I shared something that said, you probably saw, I think you were one of the three people that liked it along with my mum out of pity and like one other person, which instantly makes me feel upset because I'm like three people out of, 500 care.
I feel like that as well. I feel exactly the same way.
Why do I do it? But it said veganism is like learning a really gruesome, I can't remember what the wording was, a really like horrible secret, but having to keep your mouth shut, being expected to keep your mouth shut. And it's so true. It's like,
it is.
Do you not want to know this, guys? Like, do you not want to know for your health or like the future of the planet or the fact that those little lambs that you love are not meeting a nice end? But I just think,
do people not care? Like, I could go out of my brain and I think I've got some really great friends and great family and, people that I really love. And, I just think, do they not care, or do they care but they're not willing to look into it or make changes?
I know, it can really get to you, can't it? I think I try and remind myself that everyone's at a different stage of their journey. And at one point I thought veganism was extreme and unhealthy and wrong. But it's just trying to help them get to the point where they connect it all up. Because if their whole family's looking forward to this Easter lamb roast that they've had for 60 generations or whatever, and it's what they do and it's all local meat and everything else, they're not connecting what they're listening to and agreeing with when they're talking to you or watching something on, social media and all of that. And it's getting to the point where, you do make that connection and you're like, actually, this is affecting me enough to want to break that tradition and realise that my taste buds are not actually as important as the life of an animal or...
But we've been programmed to eat meat since the day we were born. We've eaten meat and it's not natural. And because people, and I know I was one of them, I was one of these people that were, oh, I could never go vegan. Oh, I just love meat too much. I couldn't do it. I love chicken. I could never go vegan. And people say that to me now and say, oh, that's so good that you're doing that. Oh, I could go vegetarian, but I could never go vegan.
Yeah.
And you can. It's so easy. It's so easy to go vegan. And there's the reasons outweigh anything than to go vegan than anything else. There's no good that can come of not being vegan, I think.
Exactly.
Somebody did say to me, an older lady, I find the older generation generally don't get it. I'm not talking about everybody, but an older lady said when I spoke to her, she sort of took a step back and sort of looked me up and down. Sort of went like that and went, but what about the animals? They're all going to die off if we don't eat them. We're not going to have any animals in the fields. Oh. And I had nothing to say because I just, it was almost like I just didn't say anything back.
No, I mean, what?
I wasn't going to argue about it.
That is such a crazy argument, isn't it? I mean, it's better to eat them because you want to enjoy seeing them in the field. Mm. Like, they're not going to die out. They'll go to sanctuaries, yeah. They'll still exist, but they won't be. I mean, it's not good to have so many of these, four types of animals. It's not good for the ecosystem, you know, having all these lambs and cows and pigs and chicken. Like, it's not.
They're not going to die out. They're being produced to be eaten, okay? And there's too many of them, right? We need to get back to some sort of balance of, you know, the amount of the animals that we can take on the planet. But also people that say things like it's so unhealthy, you're gonna get crumbly bones and rickets and I'm like, no, you know, milk is actually really bad. Dairy milk is really bad for your bones, but that's another thing I'm not going to get into, but I've read so much about
inflammatory, isn't it?
Yeah, it gives you osteoporosis.
Yeah, and there's so many good sources of calcium, even in vegetables, tofu, all sorts.
Oh, yeah, just an abundance. Just it's knowing what to eat, how to eat it, and just creating the habit of eating those things. I mean, I love my food I eat. I absolutely love it, and it's a joy. Food should be a joy, and it should be something that you get comfort out of. I mean, you know, it's there for not just to fuel your body. I think it's there to make you feel good as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And I feel great when I'm eating.
Yeah.
You know.
And you can eat so much of it.
I eat so much.
I know. Because
I eat so much.
Yeah. You need all the calories of all that nice plant food. I'm gonna put my
mac and cheese away. I've lost a bit of weight since I've been eating meat, since I've given up meat.
Have you?
So there you go. Yeah. Just a little bit.
I
just want to
better.
I want to keep getting, you know,
ripped.
I'm gonna be ripped.
Have you got any tattoos?
No, but I quite fancy getting
one. Should we do it together?
Yeah, what should we have?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not thinking it.
Vegans rule on our bottoms.
Yeah, it's just something small. Yeah, not on my bum.
Where would you have it, on your wrist or shoulder?
I like the wrist. I mean, it's probably quite painful, but it'll only be tiny.
Would you have something vegan-y?
I don't know. We need to get on Pinterest and plan our tattoos and go and get them.
We can have matching tattoos.
Yeah, we can do it.
We can be tattoo twins.
Yeah, I love that. We can do a little reel of it.
Simply Vegan Podcast.
Yes.
And a little tattoo of each of our faces.
Hey, you know what? Molly can do tattoos.
She
can do them for us.
Oh, get her on the case.
Back on the podcast, because I know everyone misses that.
Yeah. We could have a live tattooing on the podcast.
Listen to us kind of... Molly's got so many tattoos, bless her. She would just be like... She would just kind of like just do it on her arm and have a new one.
Her tattoos, are they, because I'm quite interested in why people get tattoos and what they get of, because some people just get a butterfly or a flower or something, or the name of their kid or something. Are hers all like quite meaningful?
I think.
Are they like vegan-y or?
No, I think they're a mixture, to be honest. I think they're sort of more alternative. I think some of them have meaning. I think people get addicted, don't they? So you have one and you're like, oh my god, I love it, and then it becomes this addiction. So but I mean, it's an expense that I can do without, so I'm happy to not.
I think it's quite exciting though. It's a little I'm probably gonna get a few tattoos in my old age.
Yeah, I think you should. In your old age.
I think, you know, I think I'm at that time now. I just think, you know, bollocks to
Well, this is it. I know, you do get to an age. Like, I turned 45 in December, and I was like, why not? It's something I care about so passionately. And who knows, if one person saw that and went vegan because of it, obviously they're not just going to go, oh, I like her tattoo, I'm vegan. But it plants that seed and they're like, oh,
yeah,
you know, that's odd. Let me go and look into that. And then, you know.
I'm at that stage where I love and hate telling people I'm vegan.
Yeah.
Because I'm proud of it, but I don't want any kind of backlash or any weird judgment of me, because it doesn't define who I am, but it's a really important thing that I am.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm very proud of it. So
you should be proud. And that's,
I am proud. Yeah, I'd like to go to the gym with a vegan t-shirt on or something.
That's what we need. I know.
Show me muscles.
Well, I've got a Simply Vegan t-shirt, so I'll get one done for you.
Oh, yes, please.
I got one done for Molly. She never wore it.
Oh, I'll wear it.
So, I'll get you one made up.
Is it pink? Is it that nice
it
pink?
It can be whatever colour, but mine's grey with pink on it.
Oh, I love one like you.
They're cute. I like them.
Matching tattoos and matching t-shirts. We are the Simply Vegan
crew.
Kids.
Yeah. I think, you know, like we said last week, I think we all need to stand up and be proud. Stop hiding away.
Yeah.
Stop, you know, sort of feeling alone in our journey and in our fight, and kind of really come together. And, you know, there's been sort of something going on with vegan runners this week, and I'm not going to wade into the argument because I do not know what's happened, but there's been a new group set up called, I think it's called Vegan Running Club.
Yeah.
So there's been a little bit of, I don't want to say infighting, but along those lines. And I just think it's so important that we stick together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if we can't kind of stick together and push things forward, then it's all just going to kind of crumble underneath us, because
exactly. I mean, I did have a Google on that, but I couldn't find anything.
It's all on Facebook. It's all going on Facebook in the groups. But I think, you know, there's so many people kind of battling against the rise of veganism, that if we, us vegans, just need to really, just stay strong,
stand up,
keep pushing,
own it,
exactly.
Own it, be proud. Yeah. I'm not going to shove it down anyone's faces, right?
No.
I'm not going to be showy-offy about it. But I am proud that I'm vegan. And I just think if we can just include as many people as possible to be vegan curious.
Yeah.
I want to get those little vegan curious people to kind of start thinking, because some people are a lost cause. Let's face it, they're never going to stop eating meat. They're just, you know, Piers Morgan, never going to stop. But the people who are interested about it and they have a curiosity, I want them to come to my house and I'll cook them and I'll show them how to do it.
They would be converts, because your cooking looks amazing. So,
well, Simon says I'm a good cook.
Simon says,
go and cook me some food.
Well, I'll put your address in the show notes, and anyone listening who isn't vegan and they're just curious can go to Deb's and enjoy a lovely slap up vegan dinner. Sorted.
I'll be cooking all night long.
Like a soup kitchen.
My kitchen's like a disco. I've got flashing lights, music, and I just cook and I just do my exercises all the time at the same time.
That. Have you got one of those signs that says this kitchen is for dancing?
No, I've got a flashy light though that goes round.
Love it.
Wine on tap.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, I love it. Can I just say a shout out to one of my friends, Laura Murray?
Yeah.
Because I went to this I went to her husband's birthday last Saturday, and me and Simon are vegans, obviously, and there were about sort of 80 plus people there.
80 people?
70 or 80 people at this party.
House?
No, in this pub.
Oh, God.
In this pub, right? And I was expecting to order off the menu, like a vegan thing off the menu. I got there and she brought out two massive trays of vegan pizza with a stuffed cheese crust. She didn't even say she was going to do it. There was more vegan pizza than there was normal pizza, right? And I put it down, and me and Simon had loads of bits, and all the meat eaters were eating the vegan pizzas. And then after that, she brought out a load of Krispy Kreme donuts, and she gave me and Simon an individual ones in our bags, which were vegan.
Oh, that's amazing. Well done, Laura Murray.
Laura Murray, and she actually had one of the bits of vegan pizza, and she said how much she loved it. So
where'd you get the stuff from?
Well, it's Chicago Town.
Oh, yeah, they're good. They're really good.
They're good. Now, again, I'm going on to ultra-processed food. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
It was a party.
Yeah. And you've got to have it in your, you've got to have it in your diet, I think. So
pizza is an essential.
The pizza was delicious, and the Krispy Kreme donuts were, we had them with a cup of tea when we got home.
Yum.
So I just want to say a big thank you to Laura.
I love that. I was wondering how that went, because obviously I had my dad's wedding, and I...
Was that all right?
Yes, it was amazing. I mean, as people probably, if they're regular listeners, they'll know he was going to get married last July, had a heart attack. And I'm pleased to say he's eating an awful lot of vegan plant-based food since he got ill. But yes, it was really emotional, because it was just like, thank God they're getting actually married after all this time. But there were meant to be 6 of us vegans. I think it ended up being 3, including me and my daughter. So, but I did chickpea, tuna, lettuce boats, which sounds really boring, but we really went to town. You know, like chickpea, tuna, when you put all the things in. So it was like red onion, capers.
You put nori sheets in
there. Nori, yeah. Some dill on top, made it look all fancy. And people were like, oh, what's that? Can I, you know, like really wanting to have some. I was like, yeah, help yourself. So loads of people had those that weren't vegan and really enjoyed them, which was amazing. I made a quiche, which I will share the recipe for, because I know a lot of people struggle with the vegan quiches because it's hard to get them to set and stuff. But this was a really good recipe, and it set really well, and it was honestly so good.
I need that recipe as well, because I've never made a good vegan quiche.
Yeah, it was a tofu. Have you made one with tofu?
No, I made one with I can't remember what I made it with. It was a long time ago. I think I made it with
cashews,
egg replacer, and cashews.
Okay, yeah,
it went very nice.
Yeah,
it's a bit gloopy.
No, this was really good. And what else did I do? A pasta salad and the caterer did some couscous and potatoes and stuff. So that was, it was a real hit. People would, started up conversations, which was great. So that's half the battle, isn't it? And I think as well, if you look pretty well and healthy, then people kind of go, oh, right. Oh, well, she's obviously not doing too badly on it. So maybe.
And let's face it, we're absolutely gorgeous. Yes.
Look at us. Just go vegan.
We're so fit and happy.
I honestly feel so much better now. This is therapy, this podcast. It always has been. I've been really getting in a sort of a real dark emotional place this week, and I've just needed to go and hug a cow or something. Like, I've just been so like, it's just, why won't people listen? Why won't people stop eating animals? Like, literally burst into tears on one of my runs. And said exactly that to my friends. I was like, why won't they stop eating them? And they were kind of looking at me like, okay, she's finally lost the plot here. But maybe I have lost the plot.
It's really important, though, for you to get all this anger out. And they say go into a field and scream, you know?
Yeah. I would if it wasn't so muddy and wet.
It's like wild, isn't it? Come on, springtime.
We're done now. We're totally done with this. This is enough. Just stop already.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat loads of vegan chocolate over Easter as well.
Have you got?
I make my little chocolate bars. My mold.
Oh, I saw I'm obsessed that with... too.
I'm obsessed with these chocolate molds I just got off the internet. And you just melt the chocolate, chuck it in, put anything in there you want, and then I'm gonna be. I'll put on all that weight that I lost. Yeah.
Do you know what? That's a great idea for my kids. They'll enjoy that, making some chocolates. I might order some.
Yeah.
Just silicone molds, right?
Silicone molds. They're the best thing. They're my obsession for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay.
I'll move on to something else next.
Yeah.
Like a new brand of tofu or something.
Well, tell us about the soya strips when you get hold of them.
Oh yes, I will. I'll try those.
But next week, I thought we could maybe get a guest on. What do you think?
Yes, please. I'd love a guest on.
Yeah. So I was thinking the doctors, the GPs who host the In a Nutshell podcast, plant-based health professionals, and we could chat to them about it's kind of, you know, maybe some of the funny things they hear within the NHS. That would be quite interesting, wouldn't
yeah.
it? Like,
yeah, that would be good.
How they deal with things, because that must be really frustrating, like working in a doctor's surgery or in a healthcare setting. And because my sister was doing it for a while. She was she's not a nurse or a doctor or anything, but she was working within the NHS, and she said, you know, it was unbelievable. You had surgeons, you know, they're working really long hours, really stressful jobs, and they'd be eating chicken raiders in their break. And she said they'd go have this emergency food cupboard, for example, if someone was, I don't know, admitted late at night, and it would literally just be the cheapest white processed bread. She said it was just shocking. And it's like, can you imagine, like, being vegan and really, like, whole food, plant-based vegan, and seeing that, you'd just be like, oh, I give up.
Yeah, I know. Just get the healthy stuff in.
Just at least get some brown bread.
Brown bread, brown rye bread or something.
But yeah, I thought that could be good. So I'll have a chat to them. But in the meantime, please send us your thoughts, your questions, your funny stories. And just, you know, let us know what you think of the podcast this week and last week, if you listened last week as well. It's simplyveganatanthem.co.uk.